what you're doing, it's what you're doing when you're doing what you look like you're doing. Express yourself.
That's right. It's time for Express Yourself. Thanks for tuning in to Katie and Kay today. Happy Friday out there. For those of you who are just tuning in, Express Yourself airs every Friday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. here on Katie and Kay Community Access Radio, located in the heart of the Carbondale Creative District. I'm your host today, Brian Colley, and here on Express Yourself, we feature all things culture and creativity in and around the Roaring Fork Valley, from visual artists and makers to performing artists and musicians and so much more. Here's what's coming up on today's show. Be sure to stick around for a look ahead at all things Five Point Film. Interim director Aisha Weinhold will be here to talk about next weekend's, it's already next weekend coming up, 18th annual festival here in Carbondale. And towards the end of today's show, we'll chat with local artists Shauna Miller and Aaron Morrison, who are part of a seven-woman exhibition up now at Carbondale Arts, centering on the complexity of the maternal experience. But first, we've got an art party here in the studio with some guests here from the Art Base in Basalt, talking about their artist mentor program opening in less than 10 days. That's all coming up here on Express Yourself, so don't touch that dial. Thanks again for being here on Katie and Kay. We do have an art party here. Hi, everyone.
Hey.
Yeah. I think we have five other people in here from the Art Base. We're going to be talking about the Claudette Carter Art Mentor Program. And I wanted to start off by introducing Megan Van Zant, who's here as the Community Partner Programs Coordinator. Is that right, Megan?
That's right. It's a mouthful.
Yeah, that's quite a title. That's awesome. We also have there's two pairs of mentor people here. So we've got Kevin Castillo and Matt Hayes here. Hi, Kevin and Matt.
Hello, hello. How you doing?
Hi.
Thanks for being here. And we also have Brady and Jeremy here.
Hello.
Hey, Brian. Thanks
hello.
For having us.
Yeah, I thought maybe today we'd start with a little general overview of the program. Hopefully, Megan, can you talk about a little bit how this program started at the Art Base?
Yes, it started with Nancy Lovendahl, who was inspired by an art teacher when she was in high school.
Cool.
And then Claudette Carter unexpectedly passed away in 2007, and Richard Carter has been sponsoring the program, and she just believes in the value of mentorship, and it's been running for almost 15 years now.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a good long time to get a lot of up-and-coming young artists into this role. Can you talk about kind of what the program is designed to kind of do? I know you're pairing working artists with students.
Yeah, so it's for high school sophomores, juniors, and seniors, and they're paired with local artists in the valley. And whatever it is that they're interested in, we try to give them a platform for not only learning more skills in that art medium, mm-hmm. but also the experience of what it's like to be in an exhibition,
right.
going from conceptualizing the idea through, you know, penciling it out and what it takes to get it on the walls and
that's right.
Door.
That's cool that there's an exhibition at the end of the program, because that is something that artists do a lot of, show their work in front of the public and then get to talk about it and show it off and all those things and find their community that way. Let's talk with Kevin and Brady. You're both juniors in high school. I think, Brady, you go to CRMS. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
And Kevin, you're a junior at Glenwood Springs High School?
Yeah.
Awesome. What has been your creative focus during this program? I feel like sometimes for those who don't feel like they're creative, it's a complete mystery how you get that creative focus. But what's that been like for you? How have you been working your way through this mentorship program?
I mean, it's kind of been like a rough house in a way, just like a lot of like experimenting.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's kind of all I can say about it. Just pure experimenting. And
are you experimenting with painting or ceramics? Or I know your mentor here is a tattoo artist, so maybe you've been tattooing people all over Glenwood in the high school.
Well, sadly, I'm not tattooing people all over Glenwood. But we decided to do like laser wood cutting.
Oh yeah.
So we just like cut the wood, we conjoin them in the end into like a final piece, and we paint them.
Very cool. That's rad. How about you, Brady?
Yeah, for me, me and Jeremy did landscape photography, and for me it's really just getting out into a spot that is really beautiful and just taking as many photos as you can for as many different angles and in as many different ways as I can, and then going back and sifting through and seeing the ones that really stand out to me. And I think because we're just like in a really special spot, there's so many places around the valley that just have so much potential. Mm-hmm. to photograph.
Yeah. So for both of you, I mean, I guess with photography, a lot of people have their phones with them, but do you have a special camera that you have been using for this project?
Yeah, so I have a Sony a7 III.
Whoa.
And yeah, it's definitely a big step up for a phone camera, but something that is really awesome about those phone cameras is that they still really take great photos, and that anyone can go to a spot even if they don't have a fancy setup with crazy lenses and still take some really amazing photos.
Right. And Kevin, have you done anything like this before with the laser cut wood? That seems like you'd need a special machine for that.
Yeah, I have not done anything like it before, and that's the main reason why I really wanted to do that with Matt.
Yeah.
And well, we use the basalt base. We use their laser cutter, which at first we had a few problems.
Sure, the technology.
Then we used mats, and that came out better.
Very cool. Yeah, and I guess how did you both get started on your creative paths? I feel like for people out there who might not feel creative, like just finding that path is challenging sometimes, and then like finding it but staying on it. How have you two kind of embraced that journey, I guess, and how have you decided to continue down that journey? I mean, this program is part of that journey, but how have you kind of made it your own so far and explored that?
Yeah, for me, I got into photography a little bit later. Just this past year, I have been doing a photography class at my school, and that's really kind of where it started. I started off with my mom's old camera from 2008, and it really just got me excited being able to kind of take these awesome photos and kind of find my style of things, where we kind of went through all these different styles from architecture photography to landscape to a little bit more abstract in Photoshop and stuff like that. But I really kind of got set on landscape photography in the first couple weeks of school after I took some really amazing photos of Sopris, and I just really enjoy being able to kind of capture the beauty in like a small point in time, and being able to kind of take everything in the world and kind of bring it down into one little box of a photo.
Oh, that's very cool. Thanks, Brady. How about you, Kevin?
Well, for me, I guess I started art since I think maybe kindergarten, when I would sneak into my brother's room, and I used to always try to like steal his drawings. just so I could like recreate them. So that's how I kind of started my art journey.
Mm-hmm.
But I always try to like change it up a lot. And I mean, I started photography too as well for a little while. I'm trying to learn like an instrument and just trying to find more ways that I can like express myself more accurately, I suppose.
Well, you're on the right radio show to express yourself. Good job plugging the show. Yeah, I mean, there's so much out there. So it's exciting just to pick a path for a while and you see what that does. And then maybe that'll inspire you to go other directions with that, too. I'd love to hear from the mentors, Jeremy Swanson, Matt Hayes. Can you both talk about your backgrounds as creatives and also how you got connected to this program at the Art Base? Matt Hayes.
Yeah, I mean, as far as my background as a creative, it's pretty widespread. I started out as an animator and video producer who then turned to tattooer / painter and then into the digital fabrication with lasers and 3D printers and stuff like that. So it's pretty widespread. Actually, the Art Base reached out to me a few months ago to see if I had interest in working with the Art Mentor program. So that's how I got connected with them.
Cool.
It was actually through the Roaring Fork Drawing Club was how I actually got connected with them. So
whoa, I've heard of them. Awesome. Okay, cool. How about you, Jeremy?
I moved to the Valley in the late 90s, actually, to take a job at Anderson Ranch Art Center. And I worked there for a few years in administration. And I thought, I'm kind of tired of sitting behind a desk after something like 4 or 5 years. I thought, I'm going to give this a go. And started working full-time in photography back then and have had, you know, some good fortune here and there. And as Brady mentioned, it's an environment that really invites photography. There's so many subjects and so many things to explore and so many great places to bring a camera. And then somewhere along that journey, probably 15 years ago, maybe more, I ran into the Art Base, and that was a great relationship. My daughter has been a summer camp counselor there taking classes. I've taken classes and taught classes, as actually has my wife. And so the whole family has kind of really reaped a lot of benefits from getting to know the Art Base and the sort of resources and instructors and classes they have. And it was a great opportunity when this program came along to be to involve a new way to experience the Art Base and a new way to do a little bit of teaching.
Oh, rad. Thanks, Jeremy. Thanks, Matt. Megan, I know there are a couple other mentors as part of this program. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, there's one other mentor, Nicole Gogolak.
Okay.
She's been a longtime art teacher in the Valley. And her mentees, she has two mentees, Reese Ferguson and Alma Letter, who go to Basalt High School.
Okay, great. Do you know what they're focused on?
They're doing some interesting explorations, and it's really interesting how all the work is sort of overlapping in these subtle ways. But they're doing painting, but also some sculpture as well. So it's multidimensional.
Cool.
And interestingly enough, Nicole focuses on encaustic, on like slices of wood logs. And then Reese is doing this incredible work on wood slices as well, where she's etching.
Well,
like burning.
Whoa.
Cool. Into the wood. So it's kind of this interesting overlap.
Yeah, that's awesome. Kevin and Brady, back to you. What's it been like getting to work with these mentors, Matt and Jeremy, towards this exhibition that's coming up? I think it opens April 27th. Is that right? We can plug that in a second too, but, has there anything that has stuck out to either of you, something that's been eye-opening during this experience, something that you're going to definitely like take with you or just, you know, branch off? What's it been like working with these guys?
For me, I think it was a really great opportunity to, end up with Jeremy. I think he really showed me a lot in terms of landscape photography. He really brought a lot to the table with techniques including HDR, which is taking multiple photos and overlapping them to basically have a more dynamic range in the photo. And that kind of completely changed the game for me with landscape photography. It just allows for so much more creativity in what you do with the photo, bringing in more colors, and you can change the whole kind of idea of what the photo started with. And that was definitely a big thing for me, as well as him being so gracious with like sharing his equipment as well. I got to test out a cool couple lenses as well as his own personal drone, which was a very wow. fun experience to fly that around and take some photos from way up in the sky.
Wow.
Yeah.
The changing world of photography. That's
it really
cool.
is. It has come a long way.
Dang. That's awesome. Thanks, Brady. How about you, Kevin?
About me? I've had a really fun time with Matt. He's like a great mentor to be around. He's just a fun guy. And I mean, like, I just took a lot of like inspiration off of him, like off of his work, off of his like tattoos and stuff like that. And even though I didn't directly implement them into my work, they're definitely gonna stick around with me for a while.
Yeah, I've seen Matt's work. It's very cool and rad. So the work that you're making for this show, will they be kind of for sale? How does that work? Do you guys have a plan for that?
I'm still landing on it, but I believe at least partially they'll be up for sale. And
nice.
So far, it's been 6 pieces. I believe it'll be probably cut down to more of like 4 or 3. But yeah, I'm really excited to kind of show the Valley what we've been working on. And I'm very happy with how they turned out.
Yeah. That's rad. How about you, Kevin? Are you going to have some stuff for sale or not for sale? I mean, sometimes you just want to hold on to the piece too.
Yeah, I definitely understand wanting to hold on to the piece. Yeah. I definitely wish I could hold on to the pieces, just like have like a second copy of them. But I think I might put all of them up for sale. Try to like get started with that. I think all 4 of my pieces, I think I'm going to put up them to sell.
Nice. Yeah, all part of the learning process for showing your work. Yeah, Megan, tell us more about this upcoming show.
Well, I also wanted to mention that this is an interesting show this time around because the mentors are going to be displaying their work as well.
I did not know that. That's cool.
Yes, so you get to see the influence potentially.
Nice.
And they have really great work, so we're excited about that. The show is Sunday, April 27th, starting at 3 p.m., so we hope you guys can join us.
Yeah. And how can people learn more about the mentorship program if they want to get involved for next time?
You can visit our website, theartbase.org, and reach out to me, Megan, at theartbase.org. I'd be happy to talk to you more about it, and we're always looking for applicants for next year.
Yeah. Well, it's a very cool program, and just, I mean, if I had that when I was a young, budding artist in school, I can't imagine the doors that open when you start connecting with people in the community like this. So congrats. Thanks, Brady and Jeremy. Thanks, Kevin and Matt, for coming in. Thank you, Megan. And kudos to all the fun things at the Art Base. We'll hope to see you on April 27th.
Thank you.
Thanks. Right.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
All right. Thanks for keeping it tuned here to KDNK today. And we forgot to mention how long that show is up with the mentor program at the Art Base. It's up through May 16th. So go check it out in Basalt, opening April 27th. Up here now in the studio with special guest from Five Point Film, Aisha Weinhold. How's it going, Aisha?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, Brian.
Man, thanks for being here. I know it's a busy time for the Five Point people.
It's crazy. But there's nowhere else that I'd rather be. So this is great.
Somehow it's already April 18th now, and I think Five Point opens next Thursday.
Next Thursday.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Well, you're no stranger to directing film festivals. You're the interim director right now at Five Point. Is that right?
Yes, correct.
You have a history at, I think you're the founder and executive director of the No Man's Land Film Festival.
Yeah, and that was actually the last time I think I was in here. Was for that back in the day, and we'd cram all of our crew in here.
What?
It was so fun, and I think we're on the same show. So I'm honored to be back, happy to be back.
That's rad. And that film festival is the world's like only film festival, adventure film festival for women and genderqueer athletes that you started in like 2014.
In 2014, yeah, wow. Back in the day.
That was like over 10 years ago now.
I know, it's crazy. I'm so
which
old.
Is still going. That wasn't the point of that comment. But it's, 10 years old already, and it's still going, right?
It's still going. The 10-year anniversary was in Denver the first week of March for International Women's Day.
Wow, that's so great. Mm-hmm. Isn't that cool to see something you made like so long ago? And it's just like,
it's really special. Something. It's really special. And I'm just so grateful to, you know, to have seen all of the iterations of it. And it's a really neat thing.
That's pretty rad. You were also raised here in Carbondale, and you're the proud owner. I read your bio on Five Point. Sorry.
Oh, thanks.
Of Ragged Mountain Sports. For those out there who don't know you, they might know of Ragged Mountain Sports. So.
Yes, we love Ragged. I love Ragged.
That's good. So how's it been going leading the Five Point crew this year so far?
It's been awesome. Honestly, the team is so dialed in. And so I started in February and they hit the ground running, I don't know, probably in May of last year. So they've just been hustling pretty nonstop. And Luis Yanez, who is the executive director, is actually still in town for this festival.
Oh, great.
So I have a really... I don't think there's ever been an executive director who's gotten an on-ramp, and I am so grateful to have one. So it's been a really gentle, simultaneously chaotic experience coming into it. But the team is so dialed, and they're so great. So I feel very, very fortunate.
Yeah, because Five Point, I think, in the 18th year, so and being based in Carbondale, kind of easy to have that on-ramp, especially if you grew up here. And it sounded like you were inspired from Five Point back in the day to start the No Man's Land Festival. Is that right?
I was. Yeah. I remember where I was sitting. It was, I think, 2007 or 2008. So the first or second year. And I think my mom had bought me tickets. And there was this film about all of these women and their relationship with the ocean. And there were surfers and swimmers and body surfers and sailors.
Wow.
And I had this moment where I was like, this is exactly what I need to be doing. But I was a sophomore in high school, so I had no idea what that actually meant. But because of that film, I reached out to Beta Calhoun, who was the ED at the time, and she got me a signed DVD. And my parents, we didn't have TV, and so I put the DVD in my like boom box and would listen to the movie on repeat. And that's how No Man's Land was born.
Wow. Back in 2007 or 8, that's pretty cool. Do you feel like you were influenced by the film as a film, or do you feel like you had that like adventuring spirit, or is it like a combination of both, or just wanting to highlight like women in that way, in like the adventure mode that they were?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it was a mix of all of them, because that was the first film I'd seen where there were women athletes.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think I was always drawn to that. And being from Carbondale, you see so many people who fill those roles, like Allison Osius and Mavis. I mean, Julie Kennedy, the list goes on. Mm-hmm. But then to see it on the big screen, I feel like it makes the possibility of becoming that much grander and that much more attainable and that much more interesting to go after.
Yeah. Well, let's dive into some Five Point things.
Awesome.
Less than a week away. I think, let's see, we said the festival kicks off Thursday evening. Is that right?
That is correct.
And
we do We do have a bonus program.
Oh.
I know. Last minute, we're like, let's shake it up.
Why not add some more?
Exactly. So Steo is in the old 689 building right on Main Street.
Yeah.
And they have a pop-up for the week that we're here, and we are doing a women's panel on Wednesday from 6 to 8.
Oh, great.
Or no, not 6 to 8, from 6 to 7. It's only 1 hour of a panel. That would be crazy.
Cool.
With this woman, Annika, who is one of our films, and then it's in collaboration with the Mount Soper Snorted Council. So there's going to be a number of women who were former cross-country Olympians in different disciplines. So they will be there on Wednesday. But then the programming really, really picks up steam on Thursday.
Okay. Can you give us kind of a rundown of what we can expect? I mean, Wednesday evening, the panel. What happens on like Thursday, Friday, Saturday? And there's some stuff on Sunday too.
Yes.
I don't know how you guys all pack it in.
The team is amazing. I'm blown away. So the flow is pretty similar Thursday through Saturday, 4:30 to 6:30. We have games and live music outside. We have the NRS lounge where everyone can hang in this big tent, and there'll be different activations from different sponsors. From, you know, there'll be a photo booth, there'll be things for sale, there'll be live music, there'll be food from food trucks. So there's a whole smattering of things to do. Your band will be there on Saturday.
I know.
Sweet Jessup and the Dirty Bucket. Excited. Shout out. And then the film started at 6:30 and run until like 9:30, 10.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Every night. And on Saturday, we have an after party with the Charities, who are this very cool, like, surf soul.
Is that the name of the band?
That's the name of the band. It's very confusing. Okay. Yes, the Charities.
Okay.
Not a charity, a band.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Yeah, I like that. And there are also all kinds of special things. I know there's free yoga and sound healing happening in the mornings. Mornings at True Nature.
Mm-hmm, with Eliza Demarest.
Yes, Eliza. You got a student film program.
We do, yep. So that's on Thursday. Thursday for high schoolers. And so they've all been invited and are coming. And then on Sunday, kind of to bookend the other end of that, is our free family film program.
Oh, I didn't realize that was a free program.
It's a free program. Wow. It's donation-based, and it's fully bilingual in English and Spanish.
Way to go. You're just knocking it out of the park right now.
Once again, the team crushes. Yeah. So that's on Sunday, and then it's followed by a free ice cream social that's sponsored by Sunday.
Even better.
Right?
Yes. let's see. I wanted to cover something about the Changemakers program. Mm-hmm. What's that about?
So the Changemakers program has been kind of internally dubbed the Ugly Cry film program, because the stories have always tended to be so emotional and heart-wrenching. And it's just this really beautiful moment of when in the evening programs, there's a really good mix. And Charlie Turnbull, who's the director of programming, he does a good job of like mixing in those stories with more kind of adventure core. But the Changemakers really is, it's a concentrated moment of all of these different people who are making huge change in the world. And one of them, and I should say I don't have all of the details on it, but it's the one I'm the most excited to see, is called Hellbent. Do you have to beep that? Heckbent? That's not actually what it's called.
I think you're good.
Okay, cool.
Give me a call here from the FCC.
Oh, geez. But it's about wild horses in the West and all of the controversy around that. And I think that that'll be a really, really good one to watch.
That could be a tearjerker.
Absolutely.
I could see that. Yeah. Ugly Cry, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
I just have known that program to be pretty powerful. Let's see. You also have a 5K run on Saturday. There's like all kinds of stuff for like everybody on the list. It's incredible.
And the 5K is really fun because all the filmmakers come out too. So you see everyone on the big screen. You see them up on stage, and then you get to jog next to them or race them, whatever your vibe is.
And they're probably pretty hardcore because some of these people are like climbing mountains with all their film gear.
It's definitely a race.
Yeah, I can.
Sometimes
imagine.
It doesn't have to be. Uh-huh. Some people race
at your own pace, maybe. Are there any films or filmmakers you're excited about this year? You mentioned Hellbent. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that's been sticking out to you lately that's like a do not miss?
I do think our Saturday feature is going to be incredible. And it's this woman named Soraya Simi. And it's a film about this woman who is a Paralympic Olympian. Help me out here.
I think that was right.
Yeah. Paralympic athlete. Thank you. Who has this goal of rowing across the Pacific Ocean. And so the story is her story. There's actually a story about it in the Post Independent, I think, that is in the papers today.
Whoa.
but it's about her journey and then also her partner's journey in supporting her. I don't want to spoil it. If you don't want it spoiled, don't read the article and just come to the movie. But I think it's going to be incredible. And I went back and forth with the director and filmmaker the other day, and her relationship with the ocean is so... it's really beautiful, and this story like is a true culminating piece for her, and she'll be there at the event, and I think that that's one not to miss.
Yeah, it's so special to get to watch the film, and then the person you were just watching on the screen or the filmmaker is like right there, and they answer questions. It's just, you feel like really connected in the moment. It's
definitely
incredible. Yeah. Let's see. I also wanted to cover something about this community grant program called the Dream Project. Is that what that is?
The Dream Project.
The Dream Project.
I'm not the best person to give all of the details on that.
That's probably Tracy Wilson.
Exactly.
Perhaps.
Tracy Wilson has championed that for many, many years. And I know that that's a program that is still ongoing and has had some really incredible projects, you know, that really incredible humans have taken on and, and done there.
I just know there's been a lot of like grant and like fundraising for local students and filmmakers and like established filmmakers. And the Dream Project is just one of like many educational opportunities that Five Point puts together, which is so cool. And we're just so lucky to have Five Point right here in our backyard in Carbondale. So,
yeah. And I do want to say on the education front, Tracy has done an incredible job building out this entire education week that takes place in February. And she goes all the way from Aspen to Parachute and flies in special guests and shows the films.
Wow.
And it's a really, really special and incredible thing that she has started. And I know that she has more programming to come. And then in addition to that, we have five film funds that are sponsored by NRS and by STEO, and one's by us and New Belgium. And so it's really, we're doing our best to support people however we can.
Yeah. And this is the flagship kind of festival of the year. I know Five Point does things throughout the year, like this educational component you're talking about. Do you know of any, I mean, the flagship festival is next weekend, so that's the main focus right now. Are there any other things out there in the ether that you can tell us about, or just go to the website and we'll find?
There's always so much. So if you, the flagship here always sells out. So if you miss tickets and you don't get tickets and you miss it, May 17th, we have the Encore to Ka.
Okay.
And then there's also last year, or maybe a couple years ago, they started doing a winter event at Taka. And so that's also something that'll happen.
Nice.
And then we do go on tour. We're still kind of ironing out our tour spot, but we go to New York in June, and we'll probably be back in Asheville.
Wow.
But those are the big ones. It's May 17th at Taka, and then winter.
And let's see, for those listening who want to get involved, they can buy tickets on the website, which is...
fivepointfilm.org.
Perfect.
And they can also volunteer
if they don't want to buy a ticket. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you still have some opportunities for that?
We do. And
cool.
We were actually just talking about it today. And where we really need volunteers is if there's anyone who loves to party and stay up late and wants to bartend.
That's not this town.
But if you're out there, call us. You can volunteer through the website. Tracy would be forever grateful.
Yeah. Well, it just takes a village for things like this to come to life. So it's exciting. And I think I saw there is a program at the Crystal Theater this year. Is there not?
There is. So that's another feature film. It's called Changemakers. It's called Champions of the Golden Valley. And they've kind of bopped around. There was a screening at Aspen Film, and they did kind of a pre-release one here last year with Five Point. And I actually went and saw when it was here last year. And it is one of the most incredible films I've ever seen. The team behind it is great. But it's about these warring tribes in Afghanistan who come together over skiing. And it is the most rudimentary form of skiing, where they are literally building their skis from leather boots and planks of wood. And they're racing down this hill, and they have a race every year. And it is so beautiful. And they do a really good job of tying it in with the, you know, like where they're at in history and then in the current political climate. And it's, I think that film was incredibly well done. And The Crystal's a toughie because it's 120 seats. So if you want to go, it's first come, first serve. Actually, there might just be tickets. You can just buy tickets.
Great.
Yeah. But it will sell out. It is. Oh, it's so good.
Wow. Mm-hmm. For those filmmakers out there listening, I know we had a photographer here earlier who's a student, so I'm sure there's other like film-based students listening out there or established people. How do people get a film into Five Point? Are you privy to that information? Is there like a jury committee
There's not a jury. So how it's been the last couple of years is Charlie Turnbull, who is in charge of programming, it's submitted to Film Freeway, or if you have a working relationship or if he's seen it on the internet, then he will reach out to you or you submit it to him. There is a camera workshop this year that I need to double check the details, but I want to say it's on Saturday at CMC during the day.
Oh, cool.
And that is on the website. Double check, because I could be wrong. And that's, you can look at Red cameras and the new Sonys, and there'll be a full display of all of the top-notch tech there.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's really just, I think that it's so easy to get really caught up in, do we have the right equipment, and are we doing X, Y, and Z? And some of the best films that I've ever seen at Five Point are the ones that are lower budget, but just capture the spirit of adventure and of being human. And I think that is no easy feat, but I have no doubt that everyone is capable of that, and I think that is really what he's looking for. And this year, his through line is this idea of finding hope and moving forward and creating change through hope and optimism. So
that
will always be
nice.
A little bit of a theme. But
yeah, I love that. Awesome. Let's see, fivepointfilm.org.
Yes.
Is that right? Okay. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you, Aisha. Thanks for coming in, and I hope you're riding the waves high through the next weekend. I know it's a lot of work, but we appreciate getting to be here in Carbondale with a film festival of our very own. So it's very special for
Thank
us.
You. Yeah. Thank you. I'm psyched to be here and really excited for this weekend, and I hope everyone comes.
Yeah. It's coming up quick, though. Hold on. All right. Take you out with a song about movies that I found that is a fun song. Thanks for keeping attuned here to KD&K here on Express Yourself. Got a couple more guests for you now talking about a new show at Carbondale Arts. Are you there, Aaron? Just making sure Aaron's here.
I am here.
Hey, it worked out. Thank you.
Yay.
We've got Shauna Miller here in the studio and also Aaron Morrison on the phone. Both are local visual artists here in the Roaring Fork Valley and are two of the seven women artists, part of a group exhibition curated by Shauna Miller here.
Hi.
And it's up now at Carbondale Arts through May 15th. Thanks for being here, both of you.
Thanks for inviting
us. On Express Yourself. This group show, I kind of want Shauna to say what the title is because I think I've been mispronouncing the middle word.
Well, perhaps. I wouldn't know. It's Latin.
Okay, fair enough.
The name of the show is Subject Mater, Mother.
That's how I say it.
Mater, M-A-T-R, which is the root for matter and material and maternal. So,
right. Yeah. I wanted to ask you how you landed on those three specific words for the exhibition title is my first question for you.
Well, you know, it's funny. It has a couple different meanings. I like the word matter because it shows the root of maternal and it's connected to matter as in importance.
Yeah.
And matter as in the makeup of all our reality.
Yeah. I like a good etymology origin word like that.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
And then subject because, well, technically it is the subject of the show, but also we like to talk about subjectivity in terms of our understanding of ourselves.
Yeah.
Sort of main character energy, if you will.
Okay.
So
sure.
Maternal subjectivity is a topic in and of itself. So all of those things kind of come together in the title. And against protocol, I suppose I kept it lowercase just because it felt like kind of like a compound word.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, like in the dictionary, kind of breaking those words up or something. In addition to yourself and Aaron, there are five other artists participating from across the country that you've pulled together. Can you give us kind of a brief overview of what each of them have contributed to this exhibition? And then we'll interview you both about what you've contributed as well.
Sure. I love the show because it's so diverse. We have a textile fiber artist named Courtney Dudley. She's from upstate New York. Mm-hmm. And she's created these pieces where it's so process oriented. She actually grows the plants that she uses to dye the silk to make these soft sculptures. So that's one. And we have two other sculptors. One is from Montana. Her name is Maya Clough. Mm-hmm. And she is a ceramicist, by and large. Mm-hmm. And then the other is Darla Jackson from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. She does these sculptures of mostly animals.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they're very anthropomorphized. And she uses various different materials to build hers.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really just thrilled that we got these people in the show. And then, of course, Maria Teicher is the painter who contributed floral pieces. They're these very intricately painted realist, almost like photorealist.
I thought they were photos when I saw them for the first time.
She's also a photographer, so she does the whole process from start to finish.
Holy smokes. Well, maybe Aaron, since you're here on the phone with us, hi again.
Yeah.
I'd love to have you share something about the two artworks that are part of this show that you brought for us. They're both wall hanging pieces, but also quite large and heavy. And wonder if you could talk about what they're made of, first of all, and then maybe something about how you created them. And then we can talk about more in depth the subject.
Sure. Well, first, I want to not emphasize the weight too much. Because they look not too heavy.
Not impossibly heavy. That's true.
Definitely can be installed in a home. The two pieces I've included are these low relief, like bas relief paintings. And my process incorporates like a casting. It's like casting gypsum cement, which is like a plaster, and also working with embedded canvas. So they've got this subtle dimensionality going on, but there's also painting happening within the piece as well. So there's this kind of open reservoir where the painting exists. And when Shauna invited me to contribute work to the show, I was thinking a lot about how, I guess in my case, the two times that I've born children, this like language of abstraction keeps coming up. Because I work between representationalism and abstraction. I also work between sculpture and painting. So I feel like my work never fits very comfortably into a category. But the two pieces I've included are titled Interceptor, and the other is The Last Word. And Interceptor has an object within it that is reminiscent of like an IED. So that kind of is, to me, a piece that references the experience many women have before becoming mothers of, you know, preventing pregnancy. And obviously we're in a time and place where all of these devices, these approaches are being kind of questioned and put up for litigation. So that was one piece that I felt would be important to incorporate into the exhibition. The other work titled The Last Word is my reflection on having an emergency cesarean with my first child, and then, you know, a subsequent miscarriage, and then a VBAC after. So that work kind of encapsulates a lot of feeling and a lot of emotion, and I would say it also reflects kind of the way my body and my personhood kind of was questioned or, I don't know, I guess challenged through our reproductive healthcare system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this show is so timely. I mean, and I don't know if I mentioned this at the beginning. I said it was a seven women artist show, but it's also seven mothers.
Yeah.
And thank you, Erin, for describing your work and the inspiration and behind all of them, both of them.
Yeah.
It's just, there's so many layers to the works in this show, and I feel like I'm even still kind of peeling back the layers, looking through and getting to know the artists better, you and Erin here and the others from out of state, but there's just so many levels of appreciation to dig through and attribute to the artist and the women and the mother person that's from each person. Yeah.
And I love Erin's addition to the show for multiple reasons. One, the topics that she's confronting, and also how they're constructed,
mm-hmm.
and just how they fit into into the show as a whole and the room and existing between sculpture and painting, and mm-hmm. It's a really unique addition.
Yeah.
So,
and Shauna, I think I learned at the artist talk last week at the opening that you've been painting for about the same amount of time you've been a mom. Is that right?
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how old is your oldest kid?
He's
now?
10.
10. Yeah. So 10
yeah,
years.
It's been about 10 years.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I always painted, but I didn't do it, you know, regularly.
Yeah.
So it wasn't until he was born that I dedicated myself to it.
Well, you've made a lot of, you're connecting a lot of communities together with the work that you're doing. Describe the two pieces that are similar. Oh, they're all three similar, but there's two that are in particularly like intimate scenes that is recognizable of your style, I would say.
Sure. Yeah. I'm mostly a realist representational oil painter.
Mm-hmm.
So I put a couple of small pieces in the show that are indicative of that
mm-hmm.
style.
Mm-hmm.
I typically take photographs in the home of the models who mm-hmm. I've chosen, who are mothers with children of various ages. And from those photos, I kind of narrow in on a feeling
mm-hmm.
and use those references to paint from.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have a couple of pieces like that.
Yeah, they're very intimate, but like alive and soft, and just gives a good feeling of that motherness.
Yeah.
I think comes through very well.
They're nice to work on.
Nice. But you also have another painting in the second room of the gallery that you're collaborating with another artist.
Yes.
Well, tell us about that.
This is a collaboration that I did with Denver-based light installation artist Lucia. She's a light projectionist. And I sort of took a hard left turn on some of the representational stuff just for fun. I went towards abstraction. And so I took these images of care that I was using to paint from and created mirror images, mm-hmm. which obviously have symmetry. I think of them a bit as like a Rorschach test.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
They can go in different directions that way. And they also sort of form portals much of the time. So when I started making these pieces, these Rorschach tests, I wasn't really sure what they were for, per se. But I just knew there was something in there for me. And then when I met Lucia, I've always been fascinated by light projection and just light artwork in general.
And how did you meet her again?
I met her when she did a projection on the Wheeler Opera House in Aspen.
Yeah.
Which was about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
She projected on the whole front of the building. It was massive. It was really cool. I was very impressed. And we talked and we became friends. And as we became friends, I thought maybe there's some room here for a collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
And
she's a mom as well.
She's a mom as well. Yeah. She's mom to a 4-year-old kid. And so we talked about that. She was into the idea. And so we both started musing about what might work. And we came up with something that I love. Of course, it's technology, which is
well. That's yes, technology is tricky, but the experience when it is working and it's just stunning.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun.
The whole piece together, the installation, I guess you can call it, is called Held.
Yes,
and then there's a projected. What would you call that shape?
Yeah. Well, my painting is the base. It's sort of the canvas on which the projection. Mm-hmm. Flows.
Yeah.
And it's viewer activated, which means that as you approach the piece, the light expands. It's sort of a circular light with color, and it expands the closer you get. And there's sound. There's a sound component. So the sound becomes a bit louder. It's a 528 frequency, 528 hertz, which is the love frequency, the frequency of miracles. It's supposed to increase oxytocin and, you know, good hormones.
Yeah.
So it really does feel good when you're sort of basking in the glow of it, the glow and the sound. And then, and it's fun to play in because you can kind of back up and the light goes down and then you come closer and the light expands and embraces you. So
I love interactive art like that. If you want to meet all seven artists, Carbondale Arts is hosting a virtual artist panel on first Friday, May 2nd at 10 a.m. You can learn more at carbondalearts.com. Go into the events page. There's a calendar event set up for that. But before we wrap up, I'd love to have you both share. We have a couple minutes left. Share your thoughts on being part of this show as artists, as mothers, Shauna as the curator. What do you hope visitors to the Carbondale Arts Gallery will come away with after visiting this stunning exhibition, by the way? It's incredible what you've done.
Erin, do you want to start that?
Sure. I mean, I think I mentioned this a little bit in our talk at the opening reception, but I feel like the subject of motherhood is still a bit taboo in some parts of the art world, and I think it's changing over time. But I do hope that people that come into this space that see and experience this work feel seen, and they feel like their experiences are maybe reflected through what they're witnessing, just because I feel like there's so many perspectives and so many challenges, but so many beautiful things about becoming a mother and being a mother. And it's wonderful to see that articulated in so many different mediums and in different ways.
Nice. Yeah, well said.
As a curator, having worked with all of these artists for about a year now, I'm just so thrilled to see their work and to have held it in person. Mm-hmm. It's such a different feeling to have the items in front of you versus just photographs. And I would encourage people to take a look. And if you find something that you love, it's available.
Good plug. I like that.
Most of it is available, and some of it is available at really accessible price points. So if you want to collect Do it. Don't wait. This is like an exploding offer. 1 month only.
Yes, come and get it. Limited offer. Yeah. I would say that, I mean, this show is for everyone. It's not just for like the mothers out there, yeah. Especially for the mothers, but I think for everyone, because art is a window, and in it, through it, you can, you know, get to know these creative people, yeah. and see through their eyes and their hands and their art what they are experiencing. And I think Aaron said it really well. This is a volatile time in history, and rights are being stripped away left and right. So it's vital to understand what people are going through, and this is one way to kind of connect with motherhood in that way, I would say.
Yeah.
How can people get to learn more about both of your artworks? Do you have an Instagram website you want to share real quick? And then we'll head to NPR.
Sure.
Sure.
Go ahead, Aaron.
Oh, I guess my Instagram is aaron.c.morrison. I mean, there's like all kinds of stuff on there, but mainly artwork. And then my website's aaronmorrison.com.
Excellent. And Shauna? Yeah.
I am ShaunaMillerStudio.com, and same handle for Instagram, Shauna Miller Studio.
Keeping it easy.
Yeah.
You can learn more about this excellent group show, if I do say so myself, as the gallery manager, up through May 15th at Carbondale Arts. Thanks, Aaron. CarbondaleArts.com. Go check it out and, enjoy. Spend some time with it. All right. Awesome. Happy Friday. Thanks for joining, everybody. On to NPR.